Good evening and welcome, everybody. Can I get approval of the agendas presented?
I would so move.
Second. Have a motion and a second. Any further comment? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get an approval of the minutes from the January 17th, 2022 regular meeting?
So moved.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unfinished business, ordinance 1413, second reading. An ordinance amending chapter 16 offenses miscellaneous section 40, contact with wildlife within the limits of Buffalo, aka Operation Turkey. Can I get a motion to approve ordinance 1413 on its second reading?
So moved.
All second. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? New business, proclamation. Proclamation, Wyoming Professional Water and Wastewater Operators Week, February 6th through the 12th. Proclamation, Office of the Mayor, City of Buffalo, Wyoming. Whereas Wyoming Certified Drinking Water Treatment, Drinking Water Distribution, and Wastewater Collection and Wastewater Treatment Operators are professionals that perform a vital service for our state, and whereas Wyoming's professional operators protect public health by removing contaminants from our drinking water, delivering safe drinking water to our taps, efficiently delivering wastewater to treatment facilities, and correctly treating wastewater, and whereas Wyoming's professional operators preserve high quality of Wyoming's lakes, rivers, and streams by ensuring the proper treatment of wastewater, and whereas Wyoming's professional operators properly operate and maintain water and wastewater equipment and facilities, ensuring the longevity of one of the state's largest infrastructure investments, and whereas clean, safe drinking water and our pristine natural environment is central to our quality of life and Wyoming's future, and whereas it is fitting to recognize and honor the work of professional operators in protecting the public's health, our environment, and water resources, and the water and wastewater infrastructure of Wyoming. Now, therefore, I, Shane Schrader, Mayor of the City of Buffalo, Wyoming, do proclaim the week of February 6th through February 12, 2023 as Wyoming Professional Water and Wastewater Operations Week, and further extend appreciation to our Public Works Director, Les Hook, Chief Water Operator, Travis Green, Chief Wastewater Operator, Tori Arndt, and to all water and wastewater operators for the vital service they perform and their exemplary dedication to the communities they represent. Gentlemen, stand up and take a bow.
This is Tori Arndt. He's actually the Chief Operator at the wastewater plant. And this is Terry, and he's at the water plant.
Thank you, Hank.
Terry, hi.
Next on the agenda is Marcia with the Child Development Center. Welcome, Marcia.
Hi. Hello, Mayor, Councilmen, and Women. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity just to update you on the Child Development Center. I'll be brief. I'll remind you that we are an agency that contracts with the Department of Health to provide early intervention services to children ages birth through five. Child Development Centers, there are 14 regions in the state. We're Region 2, which is Sheridan and Johnson Counties. We are a nonprofit, and as such, we are governed by a volunteer board. Our Buffalo Johnson County board member is Jen C. Hicks. I just wanted to remind you about some of the work that we do. We are funded through state and federal dollars in a per child served model. So once a year, we take a seat count of the children being served, and that's how we're funded. We're required by that contract to raise 3% of a match. So we do an annual campaign of donors. I write a lot of grants. That's the way that we make that 3% match. I wanted to remind you that we provide services for infants and toddlers, which is an at-home program. So therapists visit families in their home for their children that have qualifying developmental delays and disabilities. And our 3-, 4-, and 5-year-old program is a program where the children are served in a preschool setting with typically developing children, so the children with delays and disabilities are learning right alongside those children. One of the things that you hear that we do is we do free developmental screenings. So we have a building here in Buffalo. It's on your property. You probably know where it's at, 1 North of Smith. And we do free developmental screenings there and want every child to get screened. We do hearing screening, vision screening, and then a barrage of screenings. And that is to assess if a child is hitting those developmental milestones or perhaps they need some early intervention services. Our services include things like special education services, speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, sometimes vision therapy, mobility therapy, case management. That's the kind of work that we do. We have a lot of partnerships here in Buffalo and in Johnson County. We partner with healthcare providers. We partner with the school district as the children transition from preschool into kindergarten. We partner with a lot of other social agencies. So we rely on the help of lots of folks. This is a great community where we all sort of know each other and how to find help with one another. As you know, the building here was built. Special Education Services Early Intervention has been in the state of Wyoming since the late 70s when the state committed to funding early intervention for children ages 4 through 5. So we've been around in this community for a long time, but in 2007, you all under... the mayor at that time was Andy Anderson, looked into the proposal, our proposal to build a building there at 1 North of Smith. And what we do there is we no longer run a preschool there. We have our offices there and families come in for meetings there, families come in for some therapy services there. But you have a really great system of preschool and child cares in your community. So we work with all of them, with children in those preschools, going into the preschools, serving those children there. So I just wanted to have an opportunity to say hello to you. Thank you for the work you do. Thanks for supporting us. See if you have any questions for me.
Okay. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. Thanks for what you do for the kiddos.
Yeah, thank you guys very much for your support.
Jennifer Romanowski, Buffalo Chamber of Commerce.
Good evening. May I go ahead and just give a quick monthly chamber report to the council people? Okay, so as of the end of September, we have 60 total members, 6 of which are brand new businesses, which is exciting. 8 are in the 8 more are in the process of renewing, and 40 have been contacted, and conversations are ongoing about renewal. So that is pretty exciting for only 5 months of kind of normal operations. We've had 3 ribbon cuttings celebrated. We have 3 more scheduled. We have an after hour scheduled in March. We are in the process of resuming our chamber luncheons. We have our small business expo scheduled for May 12th and May 13th. So progress has started on collecting vendors and sponsors. We are continuing to collaborate with JCTA and JOCO First in terms of publications and events. And we are continuing to work on our website and continue to be transparent and continuously communicating with our community, our businesses, and our tourists. So I'm here this evening to ask for the street closure for our Wednesday market. We are only going to have it operating from June through August this year. We cut the first 2 weeks in September as traffic's pretty much done in the Wednesday market by then. And also, as some of the vendors say, it's too bloody hot for setting up out there. The street closure would be from essentially 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., and it would just be the Fetterman Street from Main Street to essentially, what is it, the alley before Lobin. Same as we did last year, nothing's changed.
No concerns from PD. Thank you for the update.
You're welcome.
It's nice to see you moving in a forwardly direction.
As well.
Can I get a motion to accept the street closures for the Wednesday markets, June 7th through August 30th, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. from East Fetterman, Main to the Alley?
So moved.
Second? I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, family.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is Aaron Kessler, Powder River Motor Ski Club.
Thank you all for seeing us. Yes, my name is Aaron Kessler, and I am the current president of, as it says, the Powder Pass Nordic Ski Club. The ski club that's been in existence for about 15 years here in Buffalo, just give or take. The reason we're coming in front of you is that we were kind of given information recently in regards to a project that is happening in the Bighorns, and that heavily would impact the a specific recreational area of which we maintain and take care of. And so, yes, we believe that a poorly defined, heavily impacted Forest Service project will destroy hundreds of thousands of dollars of investments and labor, removing a valuable socioeconomic resource from Johnson County, and leave our community without its top low-cost winter recreation opportunity. And again, the reason we're coming in front of you guys, as well as our county commissioners, is that as our elected representatives and leaders of our community, we would like you to please contact these Forest Service and comment before the February 21st date, of which, after that date, the comments will no longer be accepted on this particular project. And so, yes, the February 21st date is relatively important. But we'd like you to express any of your concerns as well as ours in regards to requesting that the Pole Creek Nordic Ski Area, and there's a few maps that you have that have been identified, and for the entire area to be removed from the proposed treatment area in the Pole Creek Vegetation Management Project. And again, the website would give you much more clarity in terms of that information. Some of the information that we've gathered from our media resources and so forth, we believe that the proposed treatment area would do such damage to this particular area due to the fact that, from what we've researched, Pole Creek was put into the particular area just south of the YDOT facility due to the fact that it had a parking lot. And then it coincided that there was also existing logging roads and so forth. And then throughout the past, we believe, about 50 years, there's been expansion upon this particular area. Trees are a necessity in that particular area for the wind that is continuously in that area. And it is our belief that without that particular vegetation and the amount that is currently there, that area will cease to exist. Not that it will be poor skiing, but that the snow will just be removed by that by nature. In terms of some of our community economic investments, for the past 10 years, we believe, and our estimate's roughly about $150,000 in financial contributions from the Johnson County Recreation District in regards to the equipment that they've allowed us to purchase, as well as help us to host events, as well as summertime maintenance. This is a year-round commitment for the ski club in terms of prepping the trails before snow and during the snowtime years. All of which would have to be out of commission if this location was to be removed. Also, we estimate that around $100,000 worth of volunteer labor, consisting of about 4,000 community hours, have gone into the maintenance of this area. Anything from just removing of tree limbs to removing of rocks to stumps and considerable amount of to make it so that if snow levels are relatively low, that you have predictable conditions in our ski area. We do believe that this area does hold significant socioeconomic value to our county and to our city. On any given day, be it Monday through Sunday, the parking lot does have an extremely large number of participants, be them people that use from the sled hill through the winter months, to just walkers, snowshoers, as well as the ski community, which we heavily support. It's our belief that these people, when they come to our town, they probably buy some gasoline, they go to restaurants, they also spend, in addition to going to the mountains, to recreate, that potential would be non-existent if, again, the trees aren't there to help protect the snow if the ski area doesn't exist. Again, we've said that this place has been around for many, many years. In regards to the total 37,000 acres, we believe that that's the amount of timber that's the acreage that is going to be harvested. This area which we're requesting to be eliminated roughly is accounted for approximately a small, small fraction of it. So in terms of the total impact, we're not designating or asking for the entire project to be omitted. It's just that particular two regions, the two Nordic ski areas. One of the unfortunate things that we have noticed is that even regardless that the two Nordic ski areas, the Pole Creek ski area, as well as designated area 449, Forest Service Road 449, even though they are identified on the Forest Service maps as a winter recreational area, they have yet to be designated as such. The icons are on all of the maps. The non-motorized designation has been established, but unfortunately, they haven't gone through the next step of identifying it as a protected area. The year-round impacts, again, this is an area that can be recreated by campers and mountain bicyclists and so forth, walkers and horseback riders, and again, the aesthetics value as well as the lack of protection would affect, we believe, and also both wintertime as well as the summertime recreational opportunities. In addition to what we also believe is the recreational objectives of our club, we've also, in my hours and hours of being out there, the wildlife habitat would also be impacted. The moose population is pretty predictable out there, as well as the elk population during the non-winter months, I believe, would also be affected by the removal of this of the vegetation and so forth. Are there any questions regarding, some of the maps are a little bit fuzzed, but is there any clarification that I possibly can give to you guys in regards to the colors of which you note? The pink areas proposed riparian aspen restoration and so. But as we get...
We're cheap. We don't have...
My apologies.
We're saving the city money.
We appreciate that.
Are these maps available on the website?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I have some color copies.
But if you would like to pass these around...
Color copies.
The red areas indicate the clear cutting of the lodgepole pine, which is the predominant vegetation up there, the species of which. The red represents the clear cutting. The other colors designate thinning of the lodgepole and other harvesting of it and so forth. And from what our research has shown, that even if thinning is attempted, the predictability of the trees, the remaining trees, fall into the fact of low or shallow root systems and just unprotected, the inevitability of them coming down is very high. The area which we are concerned with, again, this area which has been circled designates the Pole Creek's recreation area. The lines represent the trails of which we have spent the past 50 years improving and establishing. And as you can see, there is no buffer between trail and clear cut. They are one and the same according to their information which we've been provided.
What's the total number of acreage that's involved in this cutting that affects you?
We believe that it would, I think, in the neighborhood of, I would say, about 1,000. That would be our conservative, to put the safe buffer, because having the cut go directly to the trail line, so to speak, does not serve the purpose of that wind shield.
And it was 37,000, so you're 137.
I believe that's correct. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, the total disturbed area would be 37,000, but the impact that you're concerned about is 1,000 of that.
Correct.
Have you talked to the Forest Service about?
We have. So a meeting was hosted by the Forest Service 2 weeks ago in which they, it was, unfortunately, it was the day in which the impending storm was coming. Majority of the Forest Service timber project managers, I believe, are in the shared office.
Oh.
And so they hosted a meeting at our volunteer fire department, or our county fire department, in which virtually they met us online on the screen, and then our local Forest Service agency was the host of the meeting. And again, it was primarily a delivery of information as opposed, there was some question and answering that was that took place, but the majority of it was more of a delivery of just information.
So they have 97% of their agents left that they can do what they want to with.
And again, we are not opposed to the health of a forest. By we understand that, you know, there's a dynamics in a ecosystem that needs to take place, but we're requesting that this particular area be set aside in terms of its the values of which I addressed. And again, it is our desire for the city council to use your position in terms of influence we're asking the community to write letters. We're asking to just become more informed.
Yes.
By no means are we saying that the project needs to end, but we are just requesting that the recreational area be omitted from that project.
I would think you would. And when was that meeting again?
The meeting in which they hosted?
February 21st.
So February 21st, 2023 is the final date in which comments can be online presented to.
Okay.
And again, the website which you see at the bottom of that is the link in which comments can be.
Okay.
Thank you.
Looks like I got some homework for you.
Appreciate that. Anything else that...
I would just say the Forest Service had their public meeting January 26th, but they only really announced it the day before at 2 p.m. as far as we could tell. I mean, they told us about it as partners. I'm the secretary of the Sea Club, and their advertising for it, we felt, was a little bit short and short notice for such a big project that you actually, anybody that could have standing when they come out with their more formal plan, this is kind of their scoping period for the project. But you do have to comment in this first window to have standing to comment on their actual plan that will come out in the fall or winter, I think. So.
Mary, do you think it would be advisable to submit a letter to this website and have each councilman and woman sign it instead of submitting those comments individually?
I think that would be applicable.
If we could work on that, then we'd
do. Excellent. Do you have any further questions? I can. All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for the information. Special use permit, GT Investments Lot B, the re-subdivision of a portion of Lot 3 in Block 1 of the Buffalo West Edition. Mr. Leeson, can you fill us in on this special use permit?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. On January 2nd, GT Investments made an application to the Planning and Zoning Department for a special use permit to allow new residential in a B1 zone. Basically, Chapter 29, Article 11, B1, community light commercial, use regulations, Article B, special uses in B1 district. New residential uses in the district may be allowed through obtaining a special use approval through City Council. January 24th, Planning and Zoning Commission heard the case of GT Investments, and they're asked for the special use permit to allow new residential use on Lot B of the Buffalo West Addition. We heard from several sides of the story, both sides of the stories, people that wanted it, people that didn't want it. In the end, the Planning and Zoning Commission has recommended approval of this special use to allow new residential on Lot B of the Buffalo West Addition. With that approval, there was some contingencies or some conditions that will have to be met. GT Investments will have to bring back any of the plan development to Planning and Zoning for approval, whether that's an MHC, Manufactured Housing Community, PUD, Planned Unit Development, or go through the full subdivision process of Chapter 29 of the City of Buffalo ordinances. So with that, the recommendation is for approval of this permit. If you guys have any questions, I think I emailed out to you all the documentation on most of that stuff and how we came to that conclusion. Looking at the 2007 Master Comprehensive Plan, that is what that land was slated for originally. It was high-density residential. When you look at the land use plan, so and you look at the surrounding area, it's complementary to what's there now. So that's some of the main reasons of how we came up with that conclusion on that, or they did.
And my understanding is that the particulars of the actual design and egress and so forth, is they can't proceed with it unless that's been finally approved, right?
Yeah, that is that's one of the conditions of the use, is they can't, even with the MHC, which typically could just come back through my office with my approval of the checklist, they've made sure that that actually goes through them on this, so it will get reviewed further no matter what they submit on the actual development. So it'll basically come back to Planning and Zoning for round two.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Good. Any more? Yeah. Can I get a motion to approve the special use permit for GT Investments Lot B, the resubdivision of a portion of Lot 3 in Block 1 of the Buffalo West Addition? I would move that.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, do we get a chance to discuss this?
You may.
You know how the procedure totally works.
I'm Dan Hansen. I own Hansen Trucking. I'm at the corner of Yuskalundi, Kalig, and Lucas. I totally oppose this. Number one, it's slated on the map as business. I just heard that that's what was in the surrounding area, which the residential is only on the north side of this. To the east of it is storage buildings. To the west of it's already businesses. People have invested in businesses built on business property. I have a concern with the high density of traffic in and out of there. After reading the article on the HEP property in the south end of Buffalo, neighborhoods and business don't go well together. And the business is already there established. And I'd really like you guys to reconsider turning this into a high density residential area, because I don't think it bodes well for the area. And the green space is to the south of it. And has there been any impact study done on it, or what that would do with that many houses being there? Those are my major concerns. So, thank you for listening.
I'm Ken Burton. I own the trailer court behind this proposed lot, and I subdivided it back in 2006. When we did that, it was to remain in the B1 zone, mainly because of its access. It only has one access. And even in the Mobile Home Park regulations, it requires two. And if you do a cul-de-sac design, you should have at least two accesses, not one, especially for something that can hold 50 to 70 units, which is what this piece of property can do. When we originally subdivided it, we created Lot A, which is to the west of Lot B, and we started a commercial lot, and we put a building on it. The buyers were going to continue that, putting seven more lots there, which is what the city, when I did my expansion, approved. And they never did. I have no idea why they didn't do it. So that was my concern. I don't want another Boston Street behind my trailer court. It's a disaster. The dogs, the cat, it's just a mistake on my part. When I subdivided that, I should have been a party to that covenant because now I have control over that. So when I have these disturbances, I can take care of them for my tenants. I had my tenants attacked by dogs from that subdivision. So I just, obviously I don't want another one directly behind it, especially that number. And it doesn't have the access. I mean, that's and even in your own rules, it says it needs two accesses. Especially for something with 50 to 60 units. Any standard engineering design would never design a cul-de-sac with 50 to 60 units in it. So that's, I know your plans call for high density, but it missed the fact that Lot B only has one access. Now maybe there are other properties in there that can go high density. But this particular one, especially it's not even on a primary street, it's on a secondary street. So all that traffic is going to be flowing through a commercial area, and it's all commercial. And it just doesn't make any sense to do that. That's why we, and I have a covenant on the property. So it's just remaining B1 zone. So that was what I wanted to say, and hopefully you guys can understand that.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
I think, yeah, I guess one thing I noticed our planning and building inspector did point out that the fourth condition of this permit is that the city council shall reserve the right to revoke the special use permit for non-compliance with the terms above. And we would have, I believe we would have approval, have to approve that anything with the planning and zoning. And in that process, the planning and zoning is where they would be able to require two accesses or require to meet some of these requirements. There, I'm can go either way in this. I'm not really for it or against it. They have completed the necessary tasks to apply for the special use permit. So I'm not sure if we have a good reason to deny it at this point in time. But this is, I guess, preliminary approval in my mind that this is the very first step, but they have to go through the next steps are much more rigorous, and that's where these concerns would be more likely addressed on how exactly the property is laid out and how it accessed and everything would be into there. So.
Thank you. You have a motion and a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed, favor.
Three ayes and a nay. Passes. Special use permit will go forward. Next item on the agenda, Jody Sauer, JCTA.
Good afternoon. Evening, whatever it is at this point, not sure.
Good day.
Yeah, good. That's good. So I have a couple handouts for you. The first one is I wanted to do an update for you guys. I just got back from a long 3-day trip. It was the governor's hospitality and tourism convention down in Cheyenne. traveled down on Sunday in some of the worst roads I've probably ever driven on. Got stuck in Cheyenne for an extra day, but I wanted to give you guys just kind of some takeaways that we're going to be working on for the lodging tax joint powers board. One of the things that we have signed up and partnered with is the Wyoming Office of Tourism. It's number 4 on your list. And it is a destination optimization. So we will be working with the Wyoming office and then the businesses in town. And it's basically the Wyoming Office of Tourism is working on some different apps for your phone. So we're going to work with all the local tourist destinations, businesses, and everything in town to make sure that their Google is updated and correct. So when people come into town, the app will do some geofencing and it will highlight some of the businesses and stuff. So we're going to be kicking that off. I think we have a meeting on Monday to start that process. So that's one of the things that I'm pretty excited about. The other one, so the very first number 1 on your list was a seminar that I attended with Jay from Zardico, and he made a quote in his seminar that tourism exists for our residents to improve their quality of life. I thought that was interesting because we seem to all focus on the fact that tourism is all about the tourist, but really what we're doing and what the tourism board is focused on is bringing tourism in so our restaurants thrive, our hotels thrive, all of the workers and all of those and therefore our families and our local community thrive. So I think it's just good to remember that when we're looking at the tourism. We had a great review. Number 5 on there is the Wyoming Office of Tourism, their ad campaign. They're going to be focusing a winter campaign that's going on right now, which hopefully next year at this time we'll be able to work with the Nordic Club and get some Pole Creek ads out there, you know, for visitors in our surrounding areas and stuff, because that would be a great draw for winter tourism. The Wyoming Office of Tourism's next campaign is hospitality, and that's focused on high school kids and college kids, and that is inspiring career choices. So there's a website on there that you can look at for more information about that. Then the summer campaign kicks off in March, and that's the Modern Explorers. So they have selected 4 Wyoming residents that are making a difference. Jimmy Chin is a Wyoming filmmaker and an outdoor explorer. Jess Oldman has the Wild Mustang Sanctuary. Tim Trites has the Cowboy Distilling in Pinedale, and then Taylor Thelman from the Thelman Ranch. So that's going to be a really neat campaign. And then the last thing that they're working on, and they didn't have a whole lot of details, but they are partnering with Ford on the Broncos Run Wild. So hopefully I'll have some more information on that in the future. Another project that I hope to be working on fairly soon is number 3 on your list, and it was a seminar with Berkeley from Young Strategies out of, I think, South Carolina, and they are the company that worked with us for the 2021 strategic plan for the Johnson County Tourism Association. And one of the things he said is always good to do for a community, and I hope to partner with some media on this, is to find out in our area the first, the best, the most, and the only. And those are individual things that we can focus on. Maybe John has the largest piece of corn in the United States, or I don't know, some crazy thing. But if you query a community, you find out all kinds of stuff that you don't normally know otherwise. So hopefully we'll be working on that. But it was a great conference. Highly recommend people do that and enjoy and learn. It was very eye-opening. The second thing that I wanted to talk to you about, and I will pass these around. So last year for the 1%, you as the city and then the county gave JCTA money to help run the Chambers Visitor Center out towards I-90. And of those dollars that both the city and county awarded us, we used about half of it. And so I'm approaching you today to see if there's a chance that we can take those leftover funds for you guys. It looks like there's about $2,600 left to utilize those funds in May and June of this year for the Chamber's downtown office to increase their hours that they can be open and cover some of their time for their part-time people, both on the weekends and evenings and whatever we can work out on that. And then the last thing that I have for you, I wasn't sure when the last time anybody had given you an update of our board members and who's on there, when their terms expire, and where we stand on that. You'll notice on that form, and I actually spent the money to do color for you guys, you'll notice that there, Harold, who is the only current city person, he's retired from the Indian campground and he does want to resign. He has not provided us a letter yet, but we really need the four city positions filled. I know you guys have two applications and I'm working on a couple others, so I just am hoping that we can get those seats filled and move ahead. And then the last thing I wanted to go over, just to let you guys know that we have completed our interview process and we should be offering the position to an admin assistant tomorrow. So, any questions that you guys have for me at all?
Just a point of clarification for my
yep.
foggy little brain. That $2,665.44 that yep. what's listed here, are you just asking us to reappropriate those funds to the downtown business center versus the...
Yes. That we could be used the rest of this year before we go into the new 1%.
Okay. Any more questions from the staff?
Okay. Thank you very much.
With that, I would entertain a motion to reappropriate the $2,665.44 to be moved from the visitor center to the downtown location.
The chamber, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll move that.
I'll second. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is Mayor's Board appointments. Is it the Council's pleasure to do it as a group, or would you like to do them individually?
Group.
So the Board appointments are Steve Ryman, Buffalo Charitable Foundation for an unexpired term. John Camino, the Buffalo Charitable Foundation for an unexpired term. Cheryl Madden, the optional 1% sales tax committee for a 4-year term, and Anita Peoples to the Lodging Tax Board for an unexpired term. Can I get a motion to accept the mayor's board appointments as given?
So moved.
Have a motion, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Welcome to your new spots, folks.
Reports, Mr. Kirby.
Mr. Mayor, I don't have any report. Do you have any questions?
None at this time. Terry.
Let's see. We've got a meeting coming up. I reached out to FEMA, the folks at FEMA, just inquiry about some funding, what's out there, what's available through their programs. Seeing as how we're part of this whole city-county hazard mitigation plan, and we've kind of started that updated process on that. I was kind of doing it more or less just for my knowledge, but it's kind of snowballed. And it sounds like they're getting quite a meeting together on the 14th at 1. That'd be a good meeting. So if anyone wants to join in on that, it's just basically go over any options. I'm kind of what I'm curious about is water options, water funding for future water. If that falls into any mitigation, basically for drought mitigation, if that could fall into any of those categories, seeing as how we get all of our water from the creek. In Buffalo, so that's where I'm headed with that. That was my intention, so let's see what we can get out of them and what direction we can go with that, if there's anything available. And then on the 16th at 9 a.m., we are having the counties put together the hazard mitigation plan update session, so we can actually go over this plan that what I was just talking about, and we're updating that. I've talked to James Stabler at KLNA today as far as the Main Street Storm Sewer Project. They're wrapping up all the hydrology reports this week, and they're hoping by the end of the week to have that submitted to YDOT for the permitting to hook into their portion of the storm sewer on Park Street there. We've got to submit that. They got to okay it for the plan that we have designed. So they're hoping by the end of the week to have that all submitted. And ready to go to those guys. I just want to throw out there again to everybody that on the website now, you can go to the city website and do all of your applications online for contractor licenses, building permits, and the licenses for the short-term rentals. That's all just at a click of a button now. You can do it from your house. And so hopefully I get more people using that system. So. Other than that, I don't have anything else for you. Any questions?
Thanks, Terry. Sean Bissett, Police Chief, a.k.a. Captain Kirk.
Mayor, Council, I've given everybody a list of the incidents for January. We've got the end of the month reports for January. There was 761 incidents that officers responded to. Of those, there was 10 arrests in January. And then as far as phone calls into the dispatch center, there was 2,896 calls for the month of January. 221 of those were 911 calls. In this last weekend, we had a few vehicles broken into. So just a reminder to everybody that lock your vehicles, lock your house. We've gotten a few leads on it, but we don't really have any good pictures or anything as far as that goes. So if you have valuables and want to keep them, lock your stuff. Answering.
Anybody's more than welcome to borrow my kid, and you can make him stay in your vehicle overnight if he does not. My refrigerator wouldn't know what to do if his head wasn't stuck in.
Thank you.
Yep. Mr. Hook. Mr. Hook, you're on the hook.
Well, Jim, if I don't get to see you tomorrow, happy birthday. So, I guess the first thing I'll bring up is this full trick
management plan. That is actually part of a project that the City of Buffalo sponsored with the Water Development Commission, which deals with fire control in our surface water drainage. Polk Creek is not in our drainage, but it has the potential to go up and over the ridge and then down into our drainage. So that is part of this plan that we help sponsor and pay for. Just an FYI, because most of you don't even know about that. That happened 8 years ago. And then I've been contacted by a civil engineer from Love's Truck Stops. They would like to tie onto our water line on Plains Drive and run it across the highway, be Highway 16, 1416, towards U-Cross. And they'll be located right beside Bighorn Tire. And they just need permission at this time just to tie onto the line. And then anything else that we require, we'll put in a water users agreement.
Okay. That agreement doesn't need to be done at this time. We can.
No, all they need is permission. This actually benefits the city a whole lot because they will bore the highway, get it on the other side, on the west side, and that gives us the opportunity to run it clear back up to Greenleaf.
They've got to put a line under a lot of Plains Drive. There is no line there. They've got to tie back on the other side of the chamber. So they're going to be putting in quite a bit of main line just to get to their properties.
Yes.
It would benefit everybody. So.
Good.
At what juncture do they put the assurance that they will agree to be annexed when they become contiguous?
That goes in the water users agreement
that you were just talking about.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's in there.
Okay.
And they will
be there. It's actually in all.
Yeah. Good. I didn't know that.
And they have to sign that agreement before they can actually use the water, I guess.
Yes.
Since Plains Drive is a private road, then that was my question. Will there need to be an agreement with all the landowners that own Plains Drive to go under that road, right?
No, we already have the easement.
Okay.
There's an existing easement.
Okay. That's what I wasn't sure. So, okay. That sounds good.
So I guess my question, Les, is, I don't believe there's any cost to the city of a taxpayer for this.
No, none.
Is there, an infrastructure agreement or anything that we've ever discussed?
We've never had one, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've never heard of one.
And I guess my other comment was the last existing fire hydrant, I think there's one up by Mountain Metal Bowl, and one, there's no fire hydrants anywhere on Plains Drive and we're across of 16. And could we add one as part of the commander's agreement down by the Chamber's Visitor Center? Because I think you have to go up to the Priscilla Meat Plant and all over. There's one with the city sewer plant, and then the other Mountain Metal Bowl. There's nothing in between that I could see. And so if that would be possible to add that, or if
there is one over by the Exxon.
Okay.
But yeah. That's on another line.
That's on their private line or whatever. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, that might be nice to.
Yeah, we can request that.
I think they're putting one on their side, but there's nothing on the other side, the south side of there. So that'd be the only other comment I would have.
And then, so our ownership will stop where they key. They're going to key this 8-inch line. They're going to run an 8-inch line to themselves. They're only have a 1-inch tap, but the rest will be fire suppression. But we will stop ownership at that key. So that 8-inch that runs into their property, we will not own it.
Okay.
Yeah.
They will have to maintain it.
Just
whatever's on their rough roof.
Yeah, so they will maintain if something happens in, under their parking lot. That's their responsibility. So
yes.
Any more questions for Les? Can I get a motion to grant permission to
Lowe's?
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you need the motion? Do we need a motion?
I don't think we need
a motion. I think you do.
Yeah. Okay. Can I get a motion to approve granting Lowe's the ability to extend the water line? Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Anything else, Mr. Chairman?
That's all I got. I can answer any questions you might have.
Not right now, but I'm sure I'm going to have some about the other thing. Any oral or written comments? Oral or written?
I have one question. Which term is Anita covering? So we have what her expiration date is. And, yeah, I just, you have three, so I'm not sure which one she's.
Okay.
Can I pick the longest one?
The longest one.
Yeah. Okay, I'll pick the longest one.
All right. Whichever one she agrees to.
The longest one,
yeah.
All right, thank you.
Any other oral or written comments?
Mayor, I'd like to ask that the council adopt your approach the last city council member by the trail board, and we were asked to adopt a trail from Lawton to Klondike, and I'd like to encourage us to do that as the city council. So I move that we adopt Lawton to Klondike trail for the trail board.
Motion. Do we have a second?
Can you remind me exactly what that entails?
Garbage, and then if you see anything that needs done by the trail board,
Standard adopt a trail program where we would be responsible for twice a year cleaning or whatever.
Not
maintaining. It's just other groups do on other sections of our
trail. Just to be clear, if you see us, we're not doing. It's not like core community service.
No, I'll say that much.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm surprised they haven't already been done here.
Any other oral written comments? Oral written comments? Oral written comments? Hearing none, announcements. Planning and Zoning Board meeting, February 28th at 1 p.m. City County meeting, February 21st at 7 a.m. City Council meeting, February 21st at 5 p.m. City offices are closed February 20th for President's Day. And a huge reminder for the 1% application deadlines February 28th at 5 p.m. Folks, if it's not in, they don't see it. It's that simple.
And those 1% applications can be delivered here to City Hall or to the county clerk, one place or the other.
With that, can I get a motion to approve the bills as presented?
So moved.
Second. Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get a motion to adjourn?
I'll move on that.
Quickly. Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?